How's it going, everybody, and welcome to a surprise edition of the Troy Talk podcast. Man, that felt good to say. I know it's been a while, but the timing was right, and I hope to get back to doing more podcasts in the near future. Just a quick update for those who listened in the past. I'm finishing up my fourth year of medical school, and we'll find out where I'm heading for residency in March. Until then, I will be relaxing, doing interviews, and just taking advantage of what time I have left before I actually have some responsibility. This edition of the podcast was inspired by the USC basketball season starting up last night. This podcast has been in the talks for a while behind the scenes, and the goal is to make this somewhat regular, or at least as much as I can, with hopefully some added guests in the future. But for now, this episode will just be me, and it's just going to be discussing the game last night against Cal State University Northridge. If anything else randomly pops into my head, I may ramble on about that, maybe some football, but if I do that, it might take up the whole podcast. We will see. I might have to shake off some of the rust as it's been a while too, so please have some patience with me. This has been the first podcast in about 2 years, but I'm excited to be back and looking forward to it. So yeah, as I mentioned before, I'm taking this one solo. I know you might be missing Joey, his silky, sultry voice. Maybe I'll get him back on the pod. He's pretty busy with golf so far. He graduated, played some college golf. I also have a couple of other friends who went to USC with and are part of the world-famous, world-renowned War Room group chat. We talk about football, basketball there all the time. A lot of banter, a lot of shared sadness in that group chat. So we're going to try to get them on as they're big basketball fans as well. And I think they'd be a really good addition to the podcast. Just talk it up, maybe do a little season preview before things get too heated in the regular season. But anyways, let's jump right in it. 89-49 to start the season. USC beat Cal State Northridge, the Matadors. I was, just excited to see some basketball. I was excited to see some USC sports that don't make me want to pull all my hair out and raise my blood pressure. This USC football season has been brutal, and I've watched every game, but I really haven't enjoyed much of what I've been watching. So, we'll talk about that in another podcast. Hopefully, we get a good coach that's going to bring us back to some relevancy. But that is for another podcast. So, I didn't have too much expectations for this year, USC basketball. I knew we were returning a lot of people. Obviously, missing Evan Mobley is a big, what if. If he's on this team, it looks drastically different, and that's saying a lot because this team already looks really good. But I just wasn't sure how they were going to respond when, the focal part of your offense and defense pretty much is gone. But Isaiah, his brother, stepped up and kind of just going through the starting lineup. So I initially thought it would be one of Boogie Ellis or Ethan Anderson starting, but they both started, and Isaiah White was on the bench, so I thought that was interesting, putting the six-year senior off the bench. But it's a good spark plug, good hustle guy, good glue guy that comes off the bench, and it turned out really well. I mean, we'll see it in more heated games if we need his defense. But I thought the Ellis Anderson pairing worked out pretty well. Also, Drew Peterson starting at basically the small forward, but also plays a little point guard there as well, and then Isaiah Mobley at power forward, and then Chavez Goodwin, also the sixth-year center from Wofford that transferred in this past year. I was really happy to see that Goodwin was starting. I think that's the best for not only USC as a whole, but for Mobley to develop. I think Mobley's a pure power forward four guy who's getting even more, proficient at being a stretch four, shooting three-pointers beyond the arc, kind of spacing the defense. And Goodwin at the five allows Mobley to do that. You obviously had Evan Mobley playing the five last year, which allowed Isaiah to kind of, I think, improve over the course of the season at the four. But I was just worried that USC was going to try to make Isaiah Mobley play five. And not that there's anything wrong with that. I mean, you have Anthony Davis, who's a power forward playing center, and the Lakers actually play better with him at center. But I think for Mobley's development and for, the betterment of USC, I think that Mobley at the four is what we should be doing the rest of the season. And obviously, it worked out this game. A small sample size against a team that we should dominate. So, can't take too much from the game. But as I'll say in a minute, I was very, very impressed. So, I think what really jumped out at me was the early start. I mean, they jumped out to a 15-6 lead right away, and they were making shots. They were making pull-up jumpers. Drew Peterson was hitting fadeaway, which is, unguardable with Drew Peterson's making those. Boogie Ellis looked electric, not only on the offensive end, but the defensive end. And I'll go into that a little bit more in detail later. But it's just getting ahead of teams early is something that I think USC struggled with in the past. we last year, I think, won a lot of games in the second half, and we would come out sloppy and, playing down to the level of the opponents. But this team that this year kind of seems like they're a bit more mature. I mean, every person that is on in the starting lineup, Anderson's a 3-year, basically 3-year starter at point guard. Ellis is someone who's played starter minutes, and this is his 3rd year as well. Peterson is a veteran guy who's in his 4th year, I believe, but played heavy minutes last year. Goodwin is a 6-year senior, so that guy's basically a grandpa out there. And then Isaiah Mobley's a veteran as well, playing a lot of minutes the past 2 or 3 years. So we have a veteran lineup out there, and I wasn't expecting them to be scared or nervous. But whenever you have a new lineup, missing a couple players, you do have to worry about them gelling. Are they gonna be able to play well? I mean, obviously they have practice, but there's nothing that really simulates the game time experience. But they jumped out to that early start and then got off to, eventually what was a 43-15 lead. And anytime you're beating a team by 30, that's another Division I basketball team, that usually means your team is pretty good. I mean, I can't tell you how many times USC's played a team of this caliber and been up, 6 or 7 points, and sometimes even been down. I remember last year at the Cal Baptist game, I think that was our first game of the season last year. We almost lost that game. I mean, we had to go into overtime making heroic plays after heroic plays. But this year, I think we started off on a better foot, and hopefully we can continue that the next game. So a couple of things that I wrote down that kind of struck me about this game was first the defense. I noticed, last year we were a big zone defense team. We would often start in man, but immediately transition to zone, and that was, I think what kept us in a lot of games and what won us a lot of games too. Our length is just impossible for people to deal with in a zone. And not that our man-to-man defense is bad, but it's just not as good. I mean, our zone defense was elite, like top 15, top 10 defense last year. So I was, surprised to see us go as much man as we did. But again, we're playing a worse team that we're bigger and better than. It's, a good chance to practice your man-to-man defense. And I thought we played pretty good defense. But I was also, wondering how our rim protection would be. With Evan Mobley gone, he was an elite rim defender. Three blocks I think he averaged in last season. And who's going to be taking his place with that is Isaiah. He's pretty good shot blocker, but he's nothing like his brother. Chavez is more, I think, of an offensive and minded person and a hustle player. He's not really been known as a person that blocks a lot of shots. But the two big wild cards were going to be Koulibaly and Josh Morgan coming off the bench. Those two are kind of undersized centers. They're basically 4 men. But Morgan was known for his blocking ability as a freshman at Long Beach State. And we didn't really get to see a lot of him last year. And I thought when he did show up, he was kind of looked like he was lost. He wasn't ready for the moment. And Koulibaly, I've always actually really been a fan of because I think he hustles. Definitely very raw last year, but I think he looked pretty good this year. So both of them, I thought, played pretty good defense for the most part. They both blocked a couple shots, if I'm not mistaken, looking at there. Yeah, they both blocked one shot each. And probably more than that, honestly. It felt like it was more than that. But will it be the same as Evan Mobley last year? Probably not. But if we can get Isaiah to, step it up a little bit on defense and then have the hustle guys come off the bench, as well as, Goodwin putting in good minutes, I don't think you'll see the defense take that big a step back. If anything, Boogie Ellis being at the point guard, as much as I love Taj Eady, who was a good defender, in his own right, but he was definitely more of an offense first point guard, and I think Boogie, while also being pretty good offensively, is an electric defender. He is locked in, always looking to steal the ball, pester the opponent. And I think that's something that, kind of reminded me for the older USC fans, and I say older, that's like 10 years ago, but Daniel Hackett in the Tim Floyd era, point guard who just hounded defenders and was a real big hustle guy, a lot of steals, a lot of blocks. You knew you were getting a good shift from him every time he stepped on the floor, and that's kind of what I get from Ellis. And it's something that we really missed. I love J-Mac, he's probably my favorite USC player of all time, but he was definitely an offense first point guard with occasional steals, but he was never going to lock up a defender or lock up an opposing offensive player. He was really good at playing the passing lanes and whatnot, but Ellis is one of those guys you stick on the best player and you say take him out of the game, and I think that's something Ellis can do. So I'm really excited to see how he kind of blossoms in the future. And then another thing were the newcomers. I already went over Ellis and Koulibaly and Morgan, but we have 4 freshmen coming off the bench this year. And I think this USC team's probably as deep as I can remember it. I can kind of tell what the rotation's going to be like, and I think the rotation was what you saw the starting lineup, and then it's going to be plus Josh Morgan and Max Agbonpolo. Those are probably going to be this and Isaiah White, of course. So those are going to be the eight that play pretty much every game, and I think you'll see Coulibaly kind of interchange with Morgan based on like maybe who's playing better, who's in foul trouble, or if we need kind of a spark plug. I think Coulibaly's the guy. But we'd also have, four youngsters, Reese Dixon-Waters, Kobe Johnson, Harrison Hornery, and Malik Thomas. They all got, a decent amount of run yesterday. I think Kobe Johnson had 9 minutes, Reese Dixon-Waters had 13 minutes, and I was impressed by them. I don't think they looked nervous. I think Kobe Johnson looked, like a point guard of the future kind of thing. I know he's listed as like a forward or whatever, but I think he's the more of the point guard out of the bunch. I mean, I know Malik Thomas is a guard, but I think he's more of a two guard, and Reese Dixon-Waters is a little bit of a combo guard as well. So I don't think I'd be planning on them being a point guard of the future, but I really like what I saw from Kobe Johnson. And then Reese Dixon-Waters, just physically, I was impressed at, how tall and big he was. I feel like he took a big jump. He was a little, I felt like he was definitely a thicker, built player last year, but kind of a little bit baby fat on. I mean, he was supposed to be a high school senior last year, and he was playing some minutes for us. So the fact that he's a legit freshman this year, I thought he looked, really built and like kind of stretched out a little bit more, muscle than the baby fat. And I'm really excited to see where he goes. I think he could be one of those guards that you take advantage of the post. He looks like he can kind of bully defenders around, and interested to see what he does from there. Let's see. Next thing I want to talk about was the 3-point shooting. So we shot 30% on 6 and 20 from the field, and that was what kind of allowed us to excel in the tournament last year. Isaiah White and Isaiah Mobley excelled in the 3-point as well as Taj Giddey, and we got hot real fast, and we would hit three or four threes in a row and really separate ourselves from the really good teams that we were playing last year. And I don't think there's that much change with our three-pointers this year. I mean, we only really lost Evan Mobley and Taj, I guess, but we didn't shoot well yesterday. And I really do think that if we can become a good team without shooting well, which 30% is, not good, especially against a team that doesn't have a really good defense. I think that really means that if we have an off game, we can still win every game. Because there have been times in the past with USC where if we did not shoot well, we were not going to win the game. Even how good our defense was, we just could not generate offense. It would be throw it down to Big O in the post, throw it down to Evan Mobley in the post, and hope for the best. And we can't be relying on that. And I think that's what makes this team so interesting this year, is it's so well-rounded. Everybody has a role and a contribution, and I could expect a different person to drop 20 points each night. And last year and the year before, it was basically the only people who were dropping 20 points were Big O and Evan Mobley. And you'd see, occasionally you might have Taj Giddey drop a 20-point game, but it was mostly the big men, which really isn't a bad thing if you think about it. I mean, I think having that one big guy to kind of build around is always a really solid strategy for college basketball. Guards are great too, and I think guards are what win you NCAA tournaments. But I mean, if you want to be a good team, you have to have a good big man. I mean, just look at pretty much any, team that's won the national championship in the past, especially last year. I mean, I know Gonzaga lost, but Drew Timmy was the best big man in the nation, and you can see how far they went. They almost went undefeated the whole season. But I really like how well-rounded this team is, and I think they all play really hard. They're unselfish. I think you saw. I mean, look at the most someone played last night. I know it was a blowout, but it was 27 minutes. I mean, Isaiah Mobley dropped 15 points, 9 rebounds, 3 assists, and a steal and a block in 27 minutes. I mean, if you extrapolated that out to the 40-minute numbers, that's. I mean, I don't want to do the math right now because I'm lazy, but those are some pretty good stats. And if Isaiah Mobley can keep that up, I mean, there's no doubt in my mind that he's an NBA player. He's perfect for the NBA. He's pretty good rebounder, hustles, plays well. He's pretty smart, and I think he's getting better on that end. But his shooting is really what's going to elevate him into becoming, like an NBA level player. Last year, you saw his free throw shooting was 55%. When he stepped up to the line today and shot those free throws, after getting fouled on the 3-point attempt, it was three swishes in a row. It was confidence. I mean, it was just night and day different than what you saw last year. Isaiah Mobley going to the free throw line last year, rose my blood pressure, like watching Clay Helton coach a, a football game. And that, and our group chat was full of just like Isaiah Mobley going 3 for 10 from the free throw line. I don't know, is it ever going to end? But I really do think he's taken a big step this year. He looks so much more confident. His shooting shot is just, night and day better. And if he can, shoot 40% from the three-point line, shoot 75% from the free throw line, he's going to average close to 20 points a game this year. I have no doubt in my mind. And if he does that, I mean, it's not going to be the same as Evan last year, but it's going to be pretty dang close, and that's saying something. So really proud of the way he has kind of developed and taken on himself to be the best player on this team. Alrighty, so just a little bit more about the stats for the Cal State Northridge matchup. We held them to 33% field goal percentage, 23.5% or 24% three-point percentage. That's pretty good defense. I mean, especially when we were playing predominantly man-to-man, that's exceptional. And let's see how many turnovers. Forced 14 turnovers, which is always a good number. Our turnovers, we had 10, which is, I mean, we're a turnover-laden team. I think it's always going to be like that, for better or worse. I'm not really sure why. I'm hopefully Boogie kind of transitions that into, getting a little bit better. But, at the high pace, we kind of take a lot of risks. And, that's just kind of what it is. And can't really get past that. Looking at the other stats, we had 8 steals and 6 blocks. I mean, that's awesome. And it wasn't just one person doing all those things. It was really a big team effort with that. 15 assists on 90 points. That's okay, I guess. It could be a little higher. But, with the way fast breaks are nowadays, it's just harder to get those like big assist games, especially if you're, running the floor. So I don't mind that as well, or I don't mind that too much. What was really exciting, and I really hope to see this in the rest of the season, was the 85% at the free throw line. If we can go 85% at the free throw line every game, obviously that's not really sustainable for the most part, but that will allow us to win, those close games that we've lost in the past. And I already said Isaiah Mobley was a big part of that. We had Kobe Johnson go 3 for 3. We had another big man, Koulibaly, go 3 for 4. I mean, that's insane. Having two big men basically go. Our big men last night went, or when we played, 8 out of 9, which is pretty dang good for our big men, especially USC big men. So we need more of that definitely coming in the future. Okay, so giving a little update on what is going to be happening on Saturday, I believe, the 13th, is against Temple. I was doing a little research on them because I don't know too much about Temple basketball. I saw that last year they had kind of a COVID-shortened season. They went 5-11 overall in 4-10 in the conference. So they didn't really have a full season to kind of ramp up, but it doesn't seem like this is a team that should be causing us too much trouble. But, I don't want USC to be in the business of looking, past teams for quote unquote bigger, games in the future. That's not something we need to be doing. So I'm excited to watch that. Definitely will be tuning in this Saturday, and maybe I'll have a recap for that. Not sure if it's going to be after every game. That's kind of hard to do, but I really do want to get, as I mentioned before, a preview podcast with a couple of the boys, where we discuss maybe the superlatives of this season, like who we think our MVP is going to be, who we think is going to be the most improved player, best offensive player, things like that. I think that'd be really fun. They're really knowledgeable about USC basketball. If, if I were to pick people to say, like, these dudes know.
USC faces Temple on Saturday at 4 p.m.
Oh, wow. Thank you, Alexa or Siri or whatever that was. but these boys, like I said, they know their basketball. And I'm really excited. Hopefully we can get them on. One of them moved to the East Coast, so it's going to be a little tougher to get them on, but we'll make it work. And he's also a newly engaged man, so that's the reason he couldn't do the podcast today. Everybody, I'll tag him in the post, and you can kind of give him some banter about that. But I'm really looking forward to it. Hopefully we can do it. Let's see, what else did I have to talk about? Just looking at the KenPom rankings, I like to do that, after every USC game. KenPom is, if you don't know, he's a big analytics guy, the best in the business for college basketball. And he basically does his rankings based off of, offensive and defensive analytics, combined with the strength of schedule and basically, you know, how the team is playing. And last year, I think USC was pretty KenPom favorable, and usually the teams that are KenPom favorable tend to make it pretty far. And I think there was some stat, I can't really remember too well what it was. Maybe it was top 25, top 30 in like defensive, adjusted defensive rating. Those, there hasn't been a national champion that's been outside of the top 30 in adjusted defense. And last year, I think we were like 12th or something, 10th or 12th. So this year we are actually 9th as of, you know, after one game, which is small sample size. But, you know, if we can keep up that adjusted defensive metric, that, you know, is going to prove auspicious, I think, for us in the future. You know, according to the analytics, it makes us a good team and have a good chance to make another run like we did. And I thought it was pretty interesting. Obviously, number one team, Gonzaga, what's new? But UCLA is at 7, and that's another thing I can go talk about for a little bit. You know, I watched a little bit of the highlights. They played Cal State Bakersfield. And, you know, as much as I'm a UCLA hater, will always be a UCLA hater, especially, you know, obviously just because of their sports, not academics. You know, I have plenty of friends that went to UCLA. But as far as their sports, I'm always going to, you know, take a chance to clown on them when I can. But they are a good basketball team, and they are returning 10 players from their team last year that made that Final Four run. And not only are they returning 10 players, they are returning basically their whole starting lineup. They're adding a five-star freshman from Long Beach Poly and Peyton Watson, who looks like a real deal. I mean, defensively, that guy is like already an elite defender. He has, you know, he can bounce out the gym. He's super athletic, and I think he's a one-and-done player and a really, really good player. And then they also added a transfer. I think his name's Miles Johnson out of Rutgers, who's a big man. And, I mean, he's just going to add extra depth for them in the center position. I mean, Cody Riley's a veteran for them and, you know, did really well last year. But just having that extra depth behind him, you know, because they were pretty short on big men last year. And that was causing them some trouble in the regular season. But if they stay healthy through this year, I mean, led by Tiger Campbell, who looks really good. His shot looked really good, which is something that scares me. Tiger Campbell's mostly known as like a facilitator and can hit like the floaters. But if he develops a jump shot, that's going to make him a really explosive player. And then Jaime Jaquez is a big, you know, hustle player as well. Kind of crashes the boards, you know, 3 and D kind of guy. And then obviously Johnny Juzang can shoot the lights out of a gym. You have Jules Bernard, who's kind of a jack of all trades player, Swiss Army knife. So they look really good is basically what I'm getting at. And they're going to be our main competition this year. I think if USC plays like they played last night, they can beat UCLA for sure. But I do think it'll come down to USC-UCLA. If they keep playing both of them the way that they're playing, it's going to be the 1 and 2 this year in the Pac-12. And I say that coming into this game, I thought that USC was more around like 4th in the Pac-12 just because I wasn't sure how they were going to adjust Evan Mobley. I wasn't, you know, expecting Boogie Ellis to be as good. I mean, I knew he was a good player, you know, after watching some of his games at Memphis, but he exceeded my expectations with his ability to play defense, but also just shoot the ball, pull ups, three pointers, driving to the basket and show off his athleticism on that steal and dunk. So he just exceeded my expectations. And I think if he can become that kind of star along with Isaiah Mobley, USC, you know, the sky's the limit. They can make another run this year. And then to kind of close out, there's a top 30 that I kind of was looking at. Oregon is also 30th. I don't really know too much about Oregon this year, admittedly. I know they lost Chris Duarte and a couple, I believe, seniors to the draft or G League or whatever, wherever they went. So their team's pretty new. I think it's always a team that has a lot of transfers. So I'm going to have to watch them a little bit more and find out who exactly they are. They have a good point guard, Will Richardson, who seems like he's been there forever. But so, you know, they're going to be in good hands there. But I don't really know too much about the rest of the team. And honestly, I watched some of their highlights, and I wasn't too scared about it. They didn't really play anybody, like, crazy. But I don't know. I mean, they're ranked 30th in KenPom. I trust KenPom in his analysis. So that's a team that we're definitely going to have to play some tough games against this year. Yeah, so that is about it. I mean, just to kind of round out the podcast, I know this is kind of a shorter one, and we'll have, you know, more of a planned podcast in the future with, you know, other people talking besides me. But if I can't really talk more than 30 minutes without my mouth getting dry and feeling the need to cough. So I'm going to give myself a little bit of a break. But just some kind of shout outs. I know we used to do this with Joey, some things that I've been kind of watching or, you know, paying attention to. Formula One racing. I'm going to say it now, and I promise I won't say it too much. You guys, if you aren't hooked on Formula One racing, you need to get hooked. I highly recommend that you watch Netflix Drive to Survive to kind of get you ingrained in it. It's like a little documentary that kind of talks about the drama and the different players in the Formula One industry. I mean, I binged it. Highly, highly recommend. And then I've been addicted this season. This is my first season of actually watching live races. I've been getting up early in the morning, watching those, watching qualifying. It's just, I've never been like a auto racing fan. It's never been kind of my thing, but there's just something about this that just takes it to another level. And I, you know, love it. Can't say enough about it, really. So I hope you guys take my advice, watch that documentary and get hooked on and start watching the season next year. Or you could start this year. The season, I think, only has like 3 or 4 more races left. So it's kind of closing in, and hopefully Max Verstappen can take down Lewis Hamilton and get the driver's title out of his hands and, you know, get it back into Red Bull's hands. Not that I'm a Red Bull fan, but it's just basically anybody but Lewis Hamilton fan. So also Los Angeles Kings. I don't know if we have too many hockey people out there. I'm a big hockey guy. It's been a couple, 3 or 4 rough years for the Kings after their, 6 or 7 years of good, really good hockey. But they have a young group along with some of the old vets still, and they're really fun to watch. I think they're on a 6-game winning streak so far, so I've been keeping up with them. And, I mean, that's about it. Obviously, USC football, I could go on about that, but, it's getting to the 30-minute mark. If I do that, I'm going to be here, and I'm going to get upset, and, I need to go to bed, so can't be doing that to myself. Gotta reach that zen before I go to sleep. But I think the way we're going to do this is maybe I'll post on Twitter to kind of get some interaction. If anybody has any questions or anything we want to talk about this year, I'm totally open to any ideas. I can, rant on about anything sports related. If you guys have any questions or just any topics specific that you want me to cover or cover with somebody else, even if it's like fantasy football, fantasy basketball, I'm big on fantasy sports as well. I am more than happy to do so. I have some more time, and I kind of just want to do this more frequently because I miss it. Frankly, I miss it. And I mean, it's been 28 minutes so far, and I mean, it's flown by, and I've just been, it's felt really good being back on the mic. During my medical school interviews, people ask like, "Oh, you podcasted?" And I'm like, "Yeah, it's been a while, but there's just something about being on the mic that just, I don't know, makes it so I'm a whole different person." More outgoing, and just kind of, feels natural. I guess that's the way I describe it. And it's really, helped me with my interviewing skills, I think, too, because you got to be able to talk and adapt, and it's just been really fun. So, yeah, I just really appreciate you guys. Thank you for listening. We will be back hopefully within the next week. I think the plan is next week to have a USC preview podcast for the basketball season. I hope you enjoyed this. If you have any, suggestions or recommendations, you can feel free to just, send me a direct message on Twitter, or I think the email is troytalk3@gmail.com. I also check that periodically, so feel free. This should be open or, up on all of the podcasting networks, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. I'll make sure to get that settled. I don't remember how to do that exactly, so it might take a little while, but I'm going to work on doing that as fast as I can. And hopefully get this podcast out to you to listen to, hopefully by Friday. That's the goal. Maybe Thursday if I'm lucky, but Friday is definitely the goal. So fight on. We have a game this Saturday, so make sure you tune in. And make sure if you are able to attend home games this year, show out to the Galen Center. We need that fan interaction and packing the Galen Center. I think if we want to take that next step to being a legit basketball school, which basically we're a basketball school right now because our football team is so bad, we need to show up in numbers, and we need to tune in, and we need to make people know that USC is, can compete on a daily basis or on a yearly basis in basketball. I mean, our recruiting class, I'll talk about that on another podcast, is just incredible for next year. Early signing day was today, so there's a lot to be excited about with USC basketball, so just make sure that you show your support and tune in to watch the boys, because I think they're going to put a really good product out on the court this year. So, yeah, thank you, everybody, and I hope you have a great night.